This morning, I want to share with you, when Peter called me some time ago, it seems like a long time ago, and asked whether this date was open, it was, and we decided it was Valentine's Day, and he said, you don't have to speak on the theme of love, but I'm going to anyhow. I'm going to share. I want to read 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll just touch a little bit on that, and then I want to go into the area of love. And actually, the thought which I have is, are there limits to love? Are there limits to love? How far does love go? Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians, and I know that you said you could read this later. Well, this will be later. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I have become a sounding brass and clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own and is not provoked, thinking no evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there's prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, and when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I'm also known. And now abides hope, or faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. Precious and eternal God, I pray this morning that the presence of your Spirit will continue to be in our midst, to guide us and direct us, O God, as we take a few moments to share from your word. And I pray that you will bless your word, O God, in such a way that it will speak beyond what we can say or are capable of even thinking. May your Spirit, O God, and your Word fill our hearts, guide our lives, direct us, motivate us, and give us the courage, O God, to be followers of the Lamb of God in the days in which we live. I pray you'll bless each one this morning, and I pray that your love will so fill us that we will love in such a way that people will see Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. Some of you who are older remember a Charles Schulz who made cartoons and so on. There was a Peanut cartoon which was showing Lucy one day standing with her arms folded, and I almost thought of getting somebody to demonstrate this, but I didn't do that. She's standing there with her arms folding, this stern expression on her face. Charlie Brown is pleading with her, and he says, Lucy, you must be more loving. You must be more loving. This world really needs love. You have to let yourself love to make this world a better place. Says Lucy, angrily whirled around and knocked Charlie Brown to the ground and said, she screamed at him, you blockhead, the world I love, it's people I can't stand. Let me talk about that just for a little bit, because I think that that's so true in most of our lives, that we find there's a lot of things in the world which really don't bother us. They don't disturb us at all. But we realize that every once in a while we have that feeling coming over us that we're having difficulty loving some people. We just don't love the way that the Scripture says, and we read it and we try and find out, is that really what it means? Loving the world in general isn't that difficult. It's really not that hard to love the world in which we live. Loving the people around us can be a major challenge. You know, especially when you are, do we say a strong-willed personality or an individual with strong ideas and convictions? And we need those kinds of people. But sometimes we find ourselves struggling trying to love people who are different. In 1 Corinthians 13, we find that one of the most beautiful and familiar chapters, perhaps, in the Bible, is a chapter which is typically read at weddings and anniversaries and celebrations and so on. It's even set to music. Yet, was that really the intention of 1 Corinthians 13? Paul writes this chapter. He's writing to a Corinthian church which is dysfunctional in its abuse of the gifts that have been given to them. Typically, though, this understanding is often ignored. We find that many times we struggle with this and we don't really get the real meaning of what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is all about. When you read that again, when you go home and you read it and you think about it, really look at that chapter. Really, and in the setting in which it comes in Corinthians, the things that preceded it, the things that followed it, why is Paul putting that 13th chapter into there? And is it one of these just love chapters, nice love chapters? No, there's a reason for it being there. We realize that we can have heard the Scripture so often that we no longer are moved or stirred by it. And I think that maybe this has happened with 1 Corinthians 13, where he talks about the meaning of love and so on. And we realize that the context of the chapter will lose its meaning and the impact won't be there. Well, for now, that's all I'm going to say about 1 Corinthians. Do we really love God? We talk about loving people, and Lucy said she has a problem with loving people. But do we really love God? Just think about it for a moment. And if you analyze and you come to the point in which you begin to understand why sometimes people talk about finding it difficult to love God. How can a lowly person down here as we are, how can we draw near to God or much less the greatness of God just simply overwhelms us? And I think in our backgrounds, as children growing up, and I think the trend has changed considerably, there was a sense in which we were taught to be afraid of God, and I think there's a sense of fear which is good and which is not good. And I think people still struggle with this in the Christian realm. How can I, God so great who can create the universe, who makes the sun to rise and set, God who can do beyond my imagination, that I can actually love Him and enter into His presence and share in His goodness? And so as a result of it, we shy away from the presence of God and we feel inadequate in claiming that we love Him. And so we don't particularly talk about loving. Yet God loves us and desires that we would love Him in return. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 20 and going to verse 5, or going to chapter 5 and down to verse 5 in there. Let me read this to you. If someone says, I love God, and he hates his Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. Now, I didn't say that. I would hesitate to say it. But John is writing this under the inspiration, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. And he says, if we hate our brothers or our sisters, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we now see, how can we love God, whom we cannot see? I know this is a sort of a paraphrase of the scripture, of the passage there. But he's simply saying, this love which we talk about for God, he said, do we show it to others as a reflection of God? Then he goes on in verse 21 and he says, and he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. Now, what does that really mean? Then he goes to chapter 5, and you notice the first 5 verses of the chapter, he says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. His children, God's children. We love them. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commands. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. You know, I don't want to read that passage. I don't want to read that particular area because, after all, I don't like what it talks about, so I'll read others, but I won't read that. He says, no, he says, we look at it fully and freely. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. For we can win that battle against the world only those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John has some strong words for us at that point. In other words, let me put it this way, and someone else has expressed it too. First of all, to claim that we love God isn't a true demonstration of love. We can say, I love you, God. I can sing a song that tells me that I love God. You see, love is more than an emotion. Love is an action. And you'll find this in 1 Corinthians so strongly. Love is an action. It's doing, it's being. It's not just saying. And so, there should be a visible action. Specifically, we are called to love fellow believers in Him. And to love to be able to love the unseen God and express our love to one another. And if you look at it, he says, everyone who loves the Father loves his children. Maybe if I have difficulty, and I'm just being very open with you, maybe if I'm having difficulty loving somebody, maybe it begins with God. Maybe it's that love relationship with God which I need to check out to be able to love somebody else. Second thought in that area of do we love God is we strive to keep God's commandments without finding them burdensome. John Piper, some of you recognize that name, and I've read some of his material. He made a statement some time ago with regard to love, and he put it in this way. The test of the genuineness of your love to the children of God is whether you let the commandments of God govern your relationship to them and whether those commandments are burdensome to you. Let me read that again. The test of the genuineness of your love for the children of God is whether you let the commandments of God govern your relationship to them or whether these commandments are burdensome to you. 2 tests there. One is it has to be practiced. The other, it has to be enabled by God. Both the tests enable us or help us to see that loving God is loving people and it's closely interconnected. I can't say, God, I love you and hate one of you. I can't do that. He says that's not the way it is. He said, if I love God, then we will love each other. There will be a love relationship there in which we live in it. If we love Him, we'll love His people, and we will also be people who share in that love. You remember when Jesus said in John chapter 21, you remember when He said to Peter, He said, do you love Me? Do you love Me, Peter? Chapter 21 of John, the Gospel of John, and verses 15 to 17 talk about it. Jesus' question wasn't designed to criticize Peter. No, not at all. But rather to restore him to service. These are encouraging words. And he was drawing him out of where he was into that full love. And if we're faltering as Peter was there, God still loves us, and He invites us to love Him as we love His people. I want to share a little bit about the full extent of God's love for us. I don't know whether we understand that or not. Over in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13 and verse 1, he says, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." To the end. In other words, it wasn't just a temporary love. He continued. He loved them to the end. Everybody needs love. Even the most difficult people in life, if you really got to the root of it, they're longing for love. They want somebody to put value and love on them. And maybe this is what John is meaning when he says he loved them to the end. He kept on loving. He kept on. A particular mother related one day. She said how that she was going through a struggle in their life and the children was there and so on. And she said how that the children came to her in love, and these little infants, small-bodied persons, stretched their arms as wide as they could, and they stretched it out, and they said, "This is how much I love you, Mommy." Everything they had, they stretched it out, and she said, "I was delighted." Why? Because in the struggles of her life, she was finding things getting her down, getting her discouraged. But just the gesture of one of her children saying, "I love you," and this much, measuring it, said she regained courage and enjoyed it. As Jesus spent the previous final hours with his disciples and the journey just before the cross, and he knew that what was coming, and he knew the cross was continually creeping toward him, the one thing that Jesus emphasized was the meaning of his mission, God's love. God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is what Jesus came to share. How did Jesus communicate that love? Well, he didn't just tell the disciples. But you remember on the Thursday night before crucifixion, you remember how Jesus took that towel and he wrapped it around himself and tied it, and he laid down a basin of water before them and he washed their feet. What is going on here? The one who came from heaven humbling himself and washing them. He could have told them he loved them, and I'm sure he did, but I don't think they ever forgot the love that he put into practice. That attitude of being servant to them who perhaps deserved it the least. What an unusual expression of love. Jesus' message of love is surprising. It's countercultural because it's not the normal thing to do. Jesus' love bends low. Jesus' love and his blood washes us and cleanses us. And remember this, Jesus loved them to the end. Sometimes we give up, don't we? Jesus loved them to the end. Keep on loving. Keep on loving. Someone put these words and said, "Lord, thank you for loving me. Help me to grasp how high and wide and deep and long your love is for all people. And help me to be a part of that." Then thirdly, I want to talk just for a few moments about we're to love like this. And what is this? 1 Corinthians, we go back to there again, to 1 Corinthians 13. And you notice he says, "If I could speak all languages," and I realize we have various paraphrases of this, if I could speak all languages but didn't have love, I would be a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Have you ever had, you know, what they called music? I mean, please, don't say it wrong. I mean, I'm talking about children playing on something. And, you know, after a while, it gets to you. I know parents who shut the door to the basement and just keep it down there. You know, it's just there. In other words, what he's really saying in this is, If I could speak all these languages but didn't have love, I would be an irritation and an interruption and an undesirable presence in some people's minds and hearts. It's like a mother, also a story about a mother told. She said her little child, her little son, had become to the point where he began to read. And whenever they were in the car going for a drive, and she was driving, the little boy would remind her of the signs along the road. And she said the first while this was really great, because he was thrilled when he said, Mom, the speed limit is 30 miles an hour. This was when it was still in mileage then. It's 30. But she said, after a while, it happened that I didn't think it was so cute anymore because I found it intolerable. Each announcement after it became more trying, even though I knew he was attempting to be helpful. And yet it was irritating her, and it was just simply disturbing her. Sometimes I think that as Christians, we need to be careful. We need to share the truth. We need to share that and also bear it. But we need to do it in love. We need to do it in such a loving manner that people will be drawn. I think of a story, and I thought about that this morning. My mother and our stepbrother, who was determined he was never going to become a Christian. And he was making it very difficult for my mother. He was the older and had been through marriage, come into the family. He was determined he was not going to become a Christian. And I remember my mother praying and praying. And she did every loving thing that she could, that I could see her doing. And I was very young at the time. Until one day, he couldn't handle it anymore. And he went to the minister and he said, I can't take it anymore. He said, I know I got to become a Christian. He said, it's the only way to be. And I thought about that. I thought, she loved him. She could have said, forget it, go your way and be done and be gone. But she didn't. She kept on praying. She kept on loving. She kept on doing things for him and his wife. She kept on providing things for them. And then they both followed Jesus in the ways of the Lord. Sometimes it's difficult for us to have that love there that is so essential, so much a part of our life. Paul writes and he says, and I put it and I read it again, he says, if I could speak all these languages of the earth and or of man and of angels, but didn't have love, I would only be a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I would just be an irritation. And I think maybe the Corinthians were struggling with some of this, and they were barking out advice, but there was no love involved in it. Without love, godly advice can be rather preachy. Even worse, it can be insincere. Paul said, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Love each other with gentle affection and take delight in honoring each other. Romans chapter 12. Honoring a person may mean sometimes that we have to go further than we planned on going. It may mean that we have to take the limits down from love and go beyond what we had thought we would. But eventually that love reaches out and reaches them. As Christians, we're not only called to care, we're empowered to do so. We're enabled by the Holy Spirit to be able to love in such a way that, as John chapter 13 says, love each other just as I have loved you. Jesus said that's going to be the strongest mark in the church and in the fellowship of believers. That love for each other, that caring for each other. Because his love is deep, it's sincere, it's eternal. That loving, sharing affection of God for us is there for each of us. And I hope and I pray today that you sense God's love for you, and that God will give us a love for people that will cause us to go to any extent to love them to the point where they know that God is real, that God is loving. Maybe you're struggling with it right now. Maybe you find yourself in the same position that Lucy was in. The world I don't have a problem with, but it's people that surround me that I struggle with to love. Jesus said, when we love, we're telling the world that we are his followers, followers of Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you. Maybe there's a need for love. Maybe there's someone whom you've been working with or working on or trying to reach. Keep holding on and keep asking God for strength to love in the way that only God can love. May God bless you. May God give you joy and peace. May you know that God loves you beyond anything we can imagine, think, or comprehend. And that love needs to flow from our lives to those around us. God bless you.